Hey, it's episode two of the Ben and Clark cast. I don't know, we're just a couple of dudes talking about life in Los Angeles.
How do we start this thing?
It's a Ben and Clark cast, totally extreme.
Do you like chicks, Clark? I'll talk to you about chicks all day.
You know what I like? Tits. Yeah, and beer.
Yeah, do you want to just get fucked up on cough syrup and hallucinate in the backyard?
Yeah, we don't want to do anything to scare your children. That's the last thing we want to do. We don't want to scare anybody.
Well, I think you said it right there.
Hello, hello. Welcome to episode two of the Ben and Clark cast.
That's right. Two regular dudes sitting in my living room, which is now... I know episode one we discussed all the fine things in my living room, but I believe since then I have many more things...
Yeah, it's a small room, and you've kind of, in living in Koreatown, you've kind of implemented some feng shui, or some other Asian term.
Yeah, I think if feng shui means jam as much crap into my living room as I possibly can, I'm well accomplished in this. It's just, when people start to give away furniture, especially furniture, because I know furniture is expensive, having never bought a piece in my life, I just know that it's expensive, and I just hoard it. Like every little piece, couches. I have another room full of stuff that's not even here. Like,
really?
In the place of a roommate, I just have more furniture that I've just accumulated and now need to get rid of. Do you know anybody who wants to buy a queen-size mattress? Lightly used, possibly soiled. I'm not exactly sure on the specifics of the mattress. But
not off the top of my head, but one thing is really good to do is place a classified ad in the newspapers.
Right.
Because you want to stay up on current technology and current, you know, journalism.
Of course.
And then, you know, just sit back and let the calls roll in.
And I'll put my wire out so then the carrier pigeon can fly in with the notice to say that they're interested in my really soiled, heavily soiled queen size mattress. I was looking the other day because I do need to get rid of a queen size mattress from when I'm. I've been sick all week. Don't worry.
You're still fucked up from scissor.
I seriously have just been. I've been concentrating on drinking nothing but beer, water, and
scissor.
Scissor. Right.
Two nights ago, Ben had an improv show and he totally tanked on stage because he was fucked up on scissor.
It's really not a performance-enhancing drug. I mean, anybody who can do a triple backflip on a snowboard while drinking a bunch of cough syrup, they can have the gold medal. I mean, they can really have it. It's not negotiable for
me. That's a big scandal, though, in sports. I mean,
yeah, getting high off the cough medicine.
It may make you better, but you're not allowed to do it. Do you think... Do they test for scissor, though?
I'd hope so, because it really makes you reckless, I think, because you don't really care, because... It's like the Exxon Valdez. You're going down. You just don't know it. So you are standing out there, obviously tanking. And the thing is, people find it humorous to watch somebody else just blindly fail in front of a crowd of people.
Yeah.
But if you're the one on the cough medicine, you don't care either. And so I didn't. I would just stand out there by myself on stage, mumbling like Elmer Fudd and just having no idea that I'm just doing the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But everyone else is loving it, apparently. Or they're just like, they just think I'm like the pathetic little urchin that they've drug off the street.
Yeah.
That is like, oh, look, he can make things up on stage too.
Did you do like characters that were drunk?
No, not intentionally, but I think I think it may have come across that way because there's something about this cough medicines nowadays. They put a lot of extra drugs in them. It's not like when I was a kid, the Dimetapp of yore, is that right?
Yeah, Dimetapp of yore.
Yeah, of yore.
By C.S. Lewis.
I remember that children's story finally. They didn't have all these crazy drugs in it that like make your body feel warm and then your head starts to go a little crazy and numb and then you don't feel anything.
Yeah.
Like before, 30 seconds before you drank this medicine, you were hacking up a lung. You couldn't swallow your own spit and your head was just pounding like jackhammers. You drink a little bit of this medicine and it's just lollipops and lemon drops.
Yeah. Does it work better than pills? Because I stopped drinking it when I was...
Yes, it works way better.
When I grew some hair on my balls.
Yeah, yeah. It's time. It's time to switch back, my friend, because it is totally different. And today I went to the CVS right across the street to get more.
Yeah.
And it may be addicted. I don't know. It's very highly addictive.
After a while, they're going to think you're a meth guy. because that's one of the active ingredients.
Can you make meth out of the liquid?
Well, you make it. Medicine? You make it with like cough syrup,
Sudafed, and stuff like that.
The cough syrup.
Well, whatever.
Tampons and whatchamacallit, the candy bar. And you mix if you buy all the things of those at a convenience store.
And a fish tank. I know a fish tank is involved here. Yeah. Rubber tubing and stuff like that. But well, they just—that's just a clue to them to open up their drugstore 24 hours. So then I'm in there bothering the night crew instead of the normal.
I would say you'll get some wary eyes glances if you're always buying scissorp in there.
Yeah, well, someone else has gotten the idea because they were totally restocking the shelves. Yeah. I got like the last bottle.
Do they have those things on the bottles like they have on liquor bottles where they have
a little
open,
black plastic cap? No, but I figured out those you can just pull off.
You ever done that before?
Pull it off?
Oh, you can? You can just yank them off?
Yeah, you can just yank it right off.
Those things...
It's like hardly a security method, but I mean, what do you do with it then? Just drop it down your pants?
Yeah. Well, so people... What is it for even? So people don't drink it in the store or...
There's got to be some sort of microchip inside of it that's going to set it off when you walk out. But I mean, I never had the balls to steal an entire bottle of liquor out of a store.
Right.
I mean, someone's kitchen, sure, why not? But out of a store, it's a little something different.
Do you ever steal stuff at parties?
Oh, absolutely.
I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad about it now, but not really even because it's generally...
Well, you do it when you're at a party where you don't know anybody.
Yeah, it's the random party, like a keg party or something like that, and you find a bottle of shitty vodka in the kitchen, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to steal that, even though you can buy it for $6 down the street. But
right.
It's not the point that you could buy it yourself. It's that you're going to steal it right now out of the kitchen.
Yeah. I stole like a $30 or $40 jug of Jim Beam from a party once, and it hadn't even been opened. And then my roommate, when I got home immediately, like the next day, knocked it out of the freezer on accident and shattered all over the floor.
Oh, so that was now
karma.
Nobody gets to enjoy.
Yeah.
No one gets to enjoy the nice bottle of whiskey that you just stole.
I never used to steal anything though before I moved out here, like even from a party or anything.
Oh, in college I used to steal liquor all the time. And one time we stole a megaphone. That was pretty much the extent of like my thievery.
Yeah.
I was never really like big into shoplifting because, you know, actually even before college I was stealing little things. Like I still do this, little spoons and teacups from Chinese restaurants.
Really?
Like little insignificant ashtrays all the time, And now I steal pint glasses from bars all the time just because it's like one of those things that they expect to lose, so I just figure it's okay. I don't feel like I'm going to get in too much trouble if I just pocket a pint glass that I just drank out
of. Is that
of.
Where this
yeah, I mean,
came from?
Pretty much everything that I drink or eat out of in my
house.
You have
a Bubba Gump pint glass.
Yeah.
I used to
work at a Bubba Gump shrimp company in Long Beach. So that was, you're allowed to steal from work, okay?
It's always really stupid. Like chain restaurants are annoying anyway, but especially when they're named after like a TBS movie.
Yeah.
Like Bubba Gump is like the Forrest Gump restaurant. I think they should have one called like the Shawshank Grilled Dinchin.
Yeah,
and then you have a burger based on all the characters.
Oh no,
he would go.
I was gonna make a like for some reason I was gonna make like the Sling Blade reference, but that would have made no sense because because that was the first thing that I thought of when you said Shawshank Redemption.
Well, then why mention it and alert the crowd here on
professionalism? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You and I both know this is not going to be
editing here. He's just a boy. It's just a pint glass. You can't be stealing that pint. And they're like, yeah, I remember that movie.
Yeah.
Totally. I do remember that.
They should make a restaurant, a themed corporate chain restaurant after Requiem for a Dream. Mm. And they could serve scissorp there and...
Right, and you have to suck it out of the open vein of some junkie.
And they instead of Caesar salad, the dressing's methadone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on the side, so you can just kind of...
And then the patrons never leave because they figured out how to get their fix. They're like, And it's like, it's like a Denny's when you just order coffee, but you keep getting free refills.
Yeah,
and
I hate those fucking breakfast restaurants. I hate...
Do you hate breakfast food? Is that why?
I only like eating it during breakfast time. That's like one of my OCD things, I guess.
So like you're pretty much at 11 o'clock, the breakfast comes off the menu kind of guy.
Yeah. Well, and then, but then the people that go too, like whenever you go to like a Denny's at midnight, it's always just like, you know, like jackasses talking about like their screenplay.
Yeah.
Or like some D&D
guy. Well, especially
guy.
Here. I mean, especially here. Yeah. I remember like
food's horrible too.
Anything that's open 24 hours is probably not going to serve you the best food, but it's always there. That's I think the advantage that they have is it's there for you whenever you want it, as opposed to the ones that cook you good food but are only open for 8 hours a day, like everywhere else.
I went and had you eat Korean barbecue.
I have eaten Korean barbecue. Yeah.
I had it the other day, and I just think that's Korean barbecue is funny because for people that don't know, if you go eat Korean barbecue, they basically let you grill your own meat. So they just bring you a huge platter full of raw meat, and then they trust you to do it right and not kill yourself.
And it's expensive, too, which is funny because they charge you more to cook your own meat.
Yeah, that's true. You're doing it yourself. It's all you can eat, so you can keep on ordering more and more meat. I've noticed the Asian all-you-can-eat restaurants, though, they've started this new rule, and I don't know if they always did this, but if you order too much all-you-can-eat food for yourself and you don't eat it, they'll charge you for it.
Right. Because if you, have too many leftovers.
It's a lot of pressure.
Right. You're like, I'm not sure if I'm going to enjoy all this food.
Well, I'll just end up taking the extra sushi that I didn't eat and just kind of dropping it on the floor. Yeah. Or just sort of
I do the the break it up and spread it out across the plate. So it looks like I was at least eating at it. Yeah. So then, I know I didn't eat this or spit it into your napkin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accumulate bowls of condiments so then you can hide it underneath and things like that. Or you just, line your pockets full of Ziploc bags and you stuff it in there.
Yeah.
Stuff it on in.
Whatever you got to do.
Because, if there's one thing that's good later, it's probably sushi,
It really keeps well, yeah.
Right. It's one of those things that really lasts a long time.
I always try and tell my mom wants me to be healthy or something, and I try and tell her that I eat fish but then she just comes right back at me with don't eat it or you're going to get mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
She goes for the worst nightmare scenario with every different food you possibly eat. There's nothing safe, sacred.
It's always going to kill you. Yeah. Well, I did hear that tuna is really actually extremely bad for you because of the lead and mercury. Yeah.
It's bad for the fucking tuna. That's for sure. endangered.
Sorry, Charlie. Tuna.
I like looking up critically endangered animals on Wikipedia, and I just bring up their picture and I read how many are left in the world, and I just laugh at them.
Just, suckers. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Who's a survivalist now? Yeah.
And they won't make anything officially extinct for years because they have to actually verify they're extinct.
Right.
But then some scientists will always find like a family of baboons hiding in a tree or something.
If you're stranded somewhere, let's say a desert island.
Right.
And you're afraid of dying, and the only option is to eat an endangered or nearly extinct animal, are you allowed to eat it? I mean, can you just go ahead and kill it, hunt it, and eat it for food?
Yeah, I believe that's the fight or flight cause. Well,
first of all, if someone there is to arrest you or offer you some sort of citation, they should probably be rescuing you and getting you off this island in the first place.
I mean, if you think you could choke out a orangutan and eat it.
I mean, a Galapagos tortoise is probably endangered, and I don't think it's going to be putting one over on me, all right? I feel like I can wrestle a 160-year-old tortoise.
There's one called Lonesome George, if you look him up.
Oh, the orangutan or
no, he's a turtle
or something?
And he's the last. He's one of the...
just sounds like a chimp or something.
Yeah, it does.
You don't give a turtle a name like that.
He's the last turtle of his kind, and he lives on some reserve thing. And
talk about
just,
lonesome, yeah.
Yeah, and he's... Yeah, exactly. he's now the poster child for endangered animals. Because that's
poor guy. That's it. Because there's nothing else.
It's just like pandas, because turtles apparently are really reluctant to fuck or whatever, so...
captivity or just period?
I think just period. They're one of the ones that extinct themselves.
Picky little guys, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, poor George. Well, can we eat him? I mean, it's not going to really matter, right?
I'd eat him. Fuck it.
I mean, he's probably slow cooked in the sun already. He's been around for 180 years.
Live so long.
Yeah.
Long.
What sort of life is there pre-internet, post-internet?
None.
I mean, really. Yeah. I mean, if you're a turtle anyways. Lonesome George, I hope you never come by the show because we're going to eat you.
He's not going to hear this.
Someone should send a copy of this to Lonesome George.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna look him up. I'm gonna personally put it on a mini disc or something else, some sort of antiquated piece of technology.
Yeah.
Make sure that he's able to. Get that.
And then I watched part of remember the Coco the gorilla, the new sign language.
Oh, the sign language.
Yeah.
Kitten.
I didn't really buy that it actually knew what it was talking about, though. You know, it kind of just looks like it memorizes what you tell it to memorize.
Right. And it knows, like, give me food.
Yeah.
And give me that cat back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it.
And give it back now, or else I tear off your face.
How far is that going to get you in the world?
Well, if you're a gorilla, pretty far, I think. Just threaten them with tearing their limbs off, and then you're always going
to
win.
That's what's going to happen to you, though, because people have the exotic pets, the chimps, and they just eat the people.
Yeah, what's with that? Any animal that's going to be able to rip off my face, I almost, oh, man.
It's really ungrateful on the part of the pet to eat its owner.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
That one woman, where did that happen? In Connecticut? That woman got attacked by her pet chimp.
Chimp, right?
Yeah. They, like, tore her face off.
Yeah.
I like how they torture you, too. They don't just, like, snap your neck.
Yeah, like, okay.
And
she
was giving it free Xanax and wine, and that's how he repaid her, you know?
Yeah, I heard it like to try to take the car out for a spin and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a real irresponsible uncle. Like, he would smoke all your cigarettes, and he would drink all your wine, and then he would pass out on the couch, probably shit on your carpet, and then take your Beamer out for a spin.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you don't repay me by ripping my face off, Uncle Ted. You, like, I don't know, chip in for booze or something.
Yeah. Well, if he ripped up one of your couches, you got four more reserves.
Yeah, so. come on over, Uncle Ted. Shit on anything you want.
You have a huge...
I've got doubles.
Six or seven seat L-shaped couch and a three-seater velvet couch.
Yeah, and I've got like a chaise lounge.
I've never seen
lounge.
More than just you over here, so I
yeah,
don't know.
I've got a chaise lounge in this room over here with my queen-size bed pushed up against the wall.
Yeah.
A whole desk, like a whole flat desk that I got from work, and then various shelves, drawers, and other things that I still no TV that works. It's just
various knickknacks and howdy-do's.
You know, but you know, you always need more furniture, right? Everybody does.
Everybody.
Of course. The furniture is the one thing. I was thinking that maybe since I was sick, I was thinking about feeling weird about being sick and being in public places, but maybe at a restaurant, you could have a restaurant where everyone who works there is sick. And so you could go there while you're sick and you don't have to feel bad about being sick, like coughing around other people who are eating.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to feel bad about going into work sick because they expect you to be.
Yeah.
It's like the Ed DeBevics where they expect you to be rude to them all the time as a waiter, but here they expect you to kind of cough in and around their food. They don't have sneeze guards over the buffet, the salad bar, or anything like that.
Right.
You can just, you know, share and share alike. Like, they have that place that blind people work at. You're served by blind people.
Where is that, in L.A.?
Yeah, it's in L.A. here, maybe Santa Monica or something. I heard about it. It's like $100 a plate, and you order before you walk in the restaurant. You order everything, and then the second you walk through this curtain, it's pitch black. No lights anywhere. And you have to sit at a table in complete darkness while a blind person waits on you. I assume they're blind. I don't know why they would put someone who can see in... But it seems dangerous because you've got blind people walking around carrying hot bowls of soup and things like that. But I guess you're supposed to appreciate the experience of completely blind.
I just picture the blind waiters, like, they should have like an electronic track laid down on the ground to walk to whatever table they're assigned to. And if they start to veer off, it makes that truck backing up noise.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, I was thinking something a little more sinister where they had like one of those shock collars on. So then if they had to like deviate from their path, it starts to just shock them in the neck. And then they're taught not to do that anymore. If it works for a German Shepherd, why can't it work for a blind person? I mean, I understand they have feelings and things too, but I mean, how else are you going to train them?
That's a great way to get a lot of tips too, because people feel sorry for you.
I would, you know what? Here's a message to any of the blind people who may work at this place and also are listening to this show.
Oh, here's Clint. Real quick.
Okay.
Clint, what's up, man? Are you here?
He is currently saying he thinks he's here.
Yeah, we're going to come outside. I'll see you in a second.
We're going to come outside.
All right, bye. All right, folks, that was, sorry to interrupt the flow of the conversation, because God knows we were on a roll right there.
Yeah.
I just interrupted.
I mean, the blind people are never going to know my message to them.
He said, Clint James is here. We're going to take a break in a second and then come back and have him on mic. And he's a very successful actor in Los Angeles. You can find him co-starring in many terrible movies on Netflix. There's one called Live Evil. It's some kind of zombie movie where I think he has to eat an eyeball or something like that. He's done a lot, folks, and he's going to come on and talk about his terrible audition stories and stuff like that. And he texted me, horrible traffic. There was terrible traffic everywhere around Koreatown tonight. I don't know if there's some kind of
Saturday
festival
night
or
special.
Yeah.
Chinese New Year. Not that it has anything to do with Koreatown, but I mean, you know, I guess assume somebody is celebrating it, and China's a huge country, so I mean, there's got to be Chinese people around here somewhere.
I almost call people Koreanese people. Koreanese people finally said, "Fuck it, let's go to Chinese New Year." Everyone mistakes us for Chinese people anyway. We might as well
enjoy it.
Get some free barbecue meat.
Something.
Or
I mean, they got to get something for free.
Yeah.
In these day and age.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're Korean, tell people you're Chinese on Chinese New Year, because they'll probably offer you money.
Right.
And if you're blind and you're working at a blind restaurant, tell people that you're getting zapped with an electric shock every time you deviate from your path, and you'll probably also get more money.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go to that restaurant now. Yeah. It's like the medieval times. It's like this
for
is
blind
fun.
People.
Yeah, for the whole family. Yeah.
It, you just really have to enjoy the people you're sitting with because you're going to have to talk to them a lot. Or you could sit in silence in the dark and they won't see the goofy faces you're making at them the whole time. So,
all right, we're going to go outside real quick. We'll pick back up.
We'll be
right
back
where we left
with Clint.
Clint James. And, the Ben and Clark I'm fans. Clark. That's Ben. This is the Ben and Clark cast. We'll be right back. And we're back to the Ben and Clark cast.
Good Clark cast radio.
Cast. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get some good professional radio beds to drop in there. And do some of that good stuff.
I can do that voice.
Yeah. We'll just,
And now Clint's here. Clint James, actor extraordinaire. You may have seen him in Live Evil. You may have seen him in lots of movies on Netflix that... Like, you know when you click new arrivals and the movies are all really good for like two pages, and then when you get into 8 or 9, there's just like these movies where it looks just every movie somehow looks like it's about backyard wrestling. There's a really bad picture on the cover, and Clint starred in many of those movies. And and one of them is called, I think I mentioned
some of my favorite movies, by the way.
Live Evil, where I don't know. Live Evil, which I haven't seen yet, but...
Wait,
Live Evil?
Alive Evil? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've seen Dead Alive and Evil Dead and... No, never Live Evil.
Yeah.
Right.
But lesser in quality than Resident Evil, whereas that movie was just very tastefully scripted and really good.
Right.
Live Evil is kind of... It's like a spin-off, sort of. Not an official spin-off.
Yeah.
So if they would have put as much money... into Live Evil as they did Resident Evil, as they did Heart with Live Evil, as they should have with Resident Evil, they would have been equal movies.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it could have been good.
Yeah.
Could have been.
Well, Clint, you're here, buddy, hanging out.
Yeah, how you guys doing? This joint's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah, you got the cat, and you got the Hulk on the wall.
Yeah.
I hear Clint loves couches, so we've made him an appropriate...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. I love a lot of couches here. I like that, and I'm a couch guy myself.
Clint likes man caves. He uses a lot of like romantic comedy terms like that, like man cave. Like, if you ever hang out with Clint, it's all just kind of like chicken wings and beer. And,
oh, it's like hanging out with Kevin James all the time?
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn as opposed to like swinging Vince Vaughn?
Hanging out with Clint's like a Kevin James movie, but it's during the part of the movie where...
And let me mislead nobody.
Yeah.
He's not built like Kevin James.
No, not at all.
I assume probably not related to Kevin James.
He looks...
Sorry, that was me.
Folks, that was Shasta. We would never drink
of course.
On this show.
Yeah, this is Shasta.
Clint looks like Viggo Mortensen's like less successful brother, you know? Like the guy that probably works at like the deli where Viggo Mortensen
was
from.
Yeah, I was thinking something
then,
more like Reno Reigns from Renegade.
Yeah, I like that, yeah.
But what people don't realize is his IMDb is swiftly catching up to Viggo Mortensen's. They're
click
gonna
up on that.
Ever thinking that, yeah.
I'd say Google him, IMDb him, and then his IMDb ranking will be up 44% for this week.
Clint,
like, what does that even mean, though? I look up mine sometimes, and it's down 38%.
It's dodgy.
No one's ever looking up me. I'm not even looking up me on the internet, so I don't even know how I get up or down.
Yeah.
Like, there's no ebb and flow in my IMDb.
Do you have a picture on your IMDb?
No, I don't even know how it got up there. I didn't do it.
What's your credit on there?
It's like Grip. On some short film.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it's Miscellaneous Crew. I'm like notorious. I'm in there twice, actually.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Ben and for Benjamin for two different things.
a miscellaneous crew, so I'm like really, really famous.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so go ahead and Google that, and you'll find yourself. Clint, I see you have something over there.
Oh, just real quick, yeah, before you get to that. So hanging out with Clint's fun. Clint's a good guy, and it really is like a Kevin James romantic comedy. Because Clint has like a lot of heart,
but actually funny though.
Yeah, no, and it's no, yeah. Oh, wow, that's a little sassy. What if Kevin James gets a hold of this? Jesus Christ!
I hope he does.
Fucking out of a job, but he no, but it's like during the part of the Kevin James movie where Kevin James and the movie's wife is like out of town, so Kevin James is just kind of like sentimental, and like you know you're going to bars a lot and stuff, and you sort of always feel like Kevin James is about to cry or something.
Oh no!
But there's still like jokes. But it's like the middle part of the script where the conflict arises.
Oh, right. Where yeah. It's starting to start actually getting yeah. serious and then...
So it's like sweet, sweet funny, you know?
Yeah, oh, right. Yeah, sweet funny.
It's like well, it's like Judd Apatow's most best emasculated romantic comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Where Clint has like a sweater and like he's talking about his feelings a lot. And you just sort of avert your gaze because, you know, most heterosexual men aren't comfortable with discussing that stuff. But Clint has no issue at all.
I'll throw it out there.
And
Clint. Yeah. So anyway, Clint brought what's his flat Freddy
well,
or whatever.
Yeah, well, no, this is
he's this chilling is, out on the couch with Clint.
Yeah, I have my arm around this. This his name's Flat, last name yeah. Stanley.
And this is an internet phenomenon where people take pictures around the world, right?
Well, right. Well, yeah.
Pre-internet, I think, right?
Well, it's been around for a while, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might have been something that kids have been doing.
For yeah. Basically, yeah. It's a chain letter type scam that Clint's so lonely and bored right now that he decided to take part in it.
No, this is actually for an old high school friend of mine named Mandy, and this is for her daughter, Callie Madison, 80, and so she sent Callie sent Flat to me.
Yeah.
To go hang out in Hollywood and show him the town. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I took the whole time. Just for Flat tomorrow.
Oh, so. Right. Yeah. So we're going to take the top down off the car.
Yeah.
If it could come off, I would.
You got to take a picture of Flat getting a gym membership, picture of Flat just ignoring people.
Exactly.
And then gradually, if it's like a
spitting on tourists and things like that. Yeah.
And then if it's like a chronological thing, like by day three, which will represent a year in Flat's life in Hollywood, he starts wearing sunglasses all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then even further along, you start to notice that Flat's still wearing the sunglasses inside.
Right.
And he's just really starting
wasting
to turn into a prick.
Away, yeah. Becoming flatter and flatter every day.
He is pretty flat, though, if you can see him.
You start to see heroin track marks on Flat's arms.
Yeah. And he's got a number 22 shirt on.
Yeah. Flat has to eventually move back in with his parents because.
Yeah. Number 22, by the way, is represented by two solid orange blocks that I guess you're just supposed to somehow know say 22.
It does say 22 in pencil.
You need to go over that with
I like
a
his hair,
marker.
Though. Look at this hair. Yeah. He's got this. It looks, it's great. You
know? So this is for kids. Kids have fun clicking on a city or a guy and saying, oh, there's Flat Guy.
Well, and because the kid made it out of paper and like is going to love to see that they sent it around. It's like tying your name to a balloon and then having someone send you an email from they found their balloon.
Well, it's like when somebody gets a dollar change back, like a dollar bill, and then they write, like, eat my balls on George Washington's forehead.
Eatmyballs.com.
Yeah, and then they start eatmyballsgeorgewashington.com, and you go see where that dollar bill is.
You know, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten any of those, like, have you ever done the Where's George thing where you get a dollar bill back and change, and then it says Where'sGeorge.com, and then you go in and look at the website, and it says... Like, you type in the serial number and you can find out where it's been, stuff like that.
No, I've only seen, like, phone numbers on dollar bills.
Oh, see, that's a good idea, too.
You ever call one?
No, I've never called it. Yeah. I've never called it, but I've seen the number on there, and it says call me.
Clark, I'm going to
so
write,
you wonder where that
I'm gonna write
bill.
Your phone number on the back of dollar bills now that I start
and
handing out.
And see where
out.
It came, and then, you know.
Yeah, that could be a cool promotion.
Right?
Call me up
on the buck.
It's on me. It's my buck. That's that nice little thing.
That's cool, huh?
Yeah, you know, and if I were you and not married, I would take that out to the bar tonight, and I would definitely try to abuse that for all the privileges that doing something for children, which women love, by the way, especially after they've been drinking, I think that it's a very admirable thing.
Yeah. Women love when you do stuff for kids after they've been drinking, even more than when they're sober.
Probably. Well, after the women have been drinking, not the kids.
No, that's a good time
to start giving the kids the booze. They start going crazy.
Yeah, well, if you're trying to Because chicks love kids, I've realized. And I think a good time to bring it up.
Other people's kids, I
think. Is when you're fucked up with them and, you know, they're just sort of emotional already.
Well, tell girls at the bar you want to be a teacher and then they'll just melt.
Yeah.
You don't have to even be sincere.
Tell them you want to be a teacher. Yeah, like, you're not even a teacher.
You just like lie to girls at the bar. I don't know if this is new, but you could just lie to them completely and they'll just believe you.
Have you ever done that before?
Yes.
I like
lie to women all the time.
No, but do it in a way where you like make up a whole like profession and you're just sort of like, are you doing it to amuse somebody around you or are you just doing it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
What have you done? Like, what have you said?
Oh, I mean, I start with a name, and a typical one that I used to like to use is Chet Bartosek. And like, Chet Bartosek is a man. Chet Bartosek can do anything he wants. He's a construction worker. He digs holes for a living. He's damn well proud of it, all right? And this man can go and take your woman away from you and then spit in your drink and then have you buy him another one. That's what Chet Bartosek does. And he's not afraid. And so, as me, Ben, I can't do that. I can't even go up to a girl at a bar and, like, ask. I can't ask anything. I can like, casually ask, like, what she's drinking. Oh, man, this girl hates me. Yeah. But as Chet Bartosek, I can do whatever I want. Because I know that I'm just the man. And then, so, something inside my brain turns off as Ben and then becomes Chet Bartosek in real life and then is able to just climb mountains.
Chet Bartosek.
Yeah. Bartosek's really, like a Polish name, kind of.
Polish.
Strong Polish.
I really like your hamburger clock that you have in here. I think it's great.
You know what? I got stressed out. 7-Up bottles, He-Man figurines.
Yeah, it's just, you got a Howdy Doody up there.
Little butterflies.
With a little hat on. It's in
and
one, in one
I don't
boot.
Know if you've noticed, and I'll probably post pictures of this now that we're discussing it. I built that shelf myself. I don't know if it's there.
It looks sturdy.
No, I thought that was IKEA.
It looks sturdy. That's a
hand-built. Okay?
Hand-built.
What it was, I think what I do is I pull trash off the street and try to repurpose it. And this was just a piece of furniture that I tore apart and then hung on my wall.
I think it's great that you used it.
Yeah, you know, it's recycling.
Recycling.
This is what you tell ladies at the bar, too.
It's bowed. I like how it's bowed.
Yeah, it's it adds, like, that wacky shack kind of feeling.
But it's perfect because the hamburger's in the middle, meaning it's a heavy clock, a heavy burger.
It's like a Boeing. 3/4 pounder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It just makes sense.
So,
You got to bring girls over and, like, just, you know, when you get them on the couch, just kind of suddenly pull down the ventriloquist dummy. Just be like, hey, are you on the pill?
Freaks them the shit out, I'll tell you that much. Like taking the Howdy Doody off the shelf and then doing the voice really, really bothers people. Not just women, people in general. It really makes them really uneasy.
Yeah. Like when you do it to your landlord.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, I'll have the
rinse in the mail!
Yeah.
All the time. They never come back asking for it. I haven't paid rent for 3 months. It's amazing. It really works. You should try it.
It's a hell of a strategy.
Yeah, make sure it's back by the 3rd because that's when they come looking for it.
It's sweet.
Well, let's stop all this single sassy talk right now.
Yeah.
Because Clint's a married man.
Clint's a married man.
I am very married. I'm very, very much in love with my wife.
Yeah.
There's an interesting story to go behind that, though, correct?
Clint's wife, how long have you guys been married?
We were married in 2007, October.
And Clint's wife is a writer, and she's a Canadian citizen, and she had been staying here in America for 6 months at a time, and she has to go back once a year, every year, to live in Canada for a bit and somehow maintain her citizenship here by doing that. I don't get it, but...
Yeah, it's a dodgy situation.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one that's going through it right now, you know, but... basically what happened is last year she stayed a little over the time of 6 months and we're thinking like the next fiscal year she'll be fine to come back. Well, the U.S. border stopped her in Canada at Port Huron and they would not allow her to come back. And even though they already knew our situation and everything that was going on, they didn't allow her to come, you know, so she has to wait there in Canada. And we have a 2.5-year-old daughter. So that's the toughest part is being a, you know.
So your wife right now is in Canada.
In Canada.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cold there. It sucks, you know.
So we had to. Here. So we wrote our congressman and our senator and sent a letter to Obama telling him thank you. And for all the stuff that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand how it's. Because 2 days prior to her coming back, trying to get back, 2 days prior, her and her girlfriend crossed a border without any problem and went shopping.
Oh.
So what happened is that she ran into the same border guard. And so basically what this depends on the border guard and who you get actually controls your life.
Interesting.
And so this guy.
So she could potentially pack up all her stuff, drive back to the border, and if by chance she's lucky, come right across.
Exactly, but if she's unlucky, it's 5 years.
Oh yeah. All right. So well, it's probably better not to push.
Yeah.
I'd probably push that because 5 years in a Canadian jail, much better than living in this house right now.
Well, it's also probably better when you're coming back to America, you're not trying to bring a kilo of pure brown heroin. Which is what she did last night.
To each their own.
Which I don't know why you leave that out of the story, because that's
well, key. I think what we should do is we should start an internet campaign, and the tens of people who are listening to this right now should also write their congressman and say...
It's not right. It's
write their congressman about Clint's wife, or just people...
People's lives.
Yeah. So and then send them a flat Stanley. maybe things... If everyone had a flat Stanley, things would probably change around.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the laws apply to Flat Stanley.
There's no standard. See, the issue is there's no standard at the border. So some guards will let you say, come on back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, relax. And yes, we know what you guys do. We know you're a writer. We know your husband's an actor. And everything's fine.
Right,
because you
guys are basically like vagabonds anyway.
But you get a different guy, and he can totally stop everything.
Oh.
And so she's red flagged. Red flag meaning
people with too much power. That guy just knew he had all the power in his hands.
That's what happened, you know.
It's
devastating when you're.
Well, in his defense, you can only tell so many people every day that they can't bring their banana across the country or their apple. So just to mix things up a little, you got to reject somebody's citizenship.
Sorry, you and your wife and your 2-year-old child cannot come across.
And she's Canadian.
Yeah, what is a Canadian gonna do anyways?
You know,
I mean, be cold all the time.
Right?
Because they're frozen ice blocks up there, right?
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
Did you ever try to leverage the adorability factor of your daughter, you said?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just try to shove that daughter in
the
face?
She was there during the whole thing, and that's actually... I'm glad I wasn't there, because I would have had some wars for these cats.
Yeah, blown up.
Cats.
I don't know how you wouldn't have,
Oh, it's... Yeah. These guys... What do they do?
He'd be like, that's not very Canadian of you to get all angry and up in
I just want to know who trains them to profile so well. Basically, you know, it's this
harmful terrorists.
Yeah,
a guy and his wife and 2-year-old child.
I served 8.5 years in the United States Air Force, veteran of Kosovo, Afghan, and here I am as a United States citizen, being treated like this. My family's being treated like this, and so you give, and then what happens? You take one right in the ass.
Take. They give it back to you.
They give it back to you in the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, those court martials are going to come back to haunt you. That's the point.
Well, there's that, right? So I didn't think we were going to talk about that.
Should have paid Uncle Sam his due.
Yeah.
Just Google the Kosovo crackdown, and it's a well-known massacre that Clint orchestrated in Kosovo, and that would be why.
Yeah.
His wife is not
so
allowed.
it's really irritating when you give a good part of your life to your government, and then it turns around and says, okay, we're going to separate your family because some punk kid at the border doesn't have a clue on life.
He's able to
stop this. Yeah.
See, this
have you thought about hiding her in a Best Buy truck, delivering like John Candy retrospective DVD sets or something? She could like hide under the cargo and maybe be smuggled in that way.
Yeah. Ooh, I know an idea. And this is how they used to smuggle weed from the border. They would put it in a big waterproof container with a GPS on it, ride it out in a boat in the middle of Lake Superior, and then they would just drop it down to the bottom, and then someone else would come out from the American side and pick it up. So all you need to do is put your wife and your daughter. That's not gonna work. I'm just thinking, sealing them up into a container.
Remember the Oregon Trail? How you could ford the river?
Yeah.
Like have the horse and the carriage.
You always ford the river. You never take the ferry. It's $5. Too much. No one has that kind of money back
way
then.
Too also, much.
If you're the banker, you just always win. And that's what I would always do. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for when the Indians come and raid your camp and they steal everything.
I don't know if that ever happened to me. I feel like every time I was the banker, I would just win instantly. But the one thing that will get you when you're the banker is apparently, being successful financially makes you a lot more prone to Typhoid Mary.
Yeah.
And other wagon diseases.
You were never robbed by Indians, Clark?
I don't remember that as being part of the game. Oh, and then also when you're hunting, all you have to do is shoot one buffalo and then you're just set for life.
But there's like, the best thing to do in that game was the hunt. So there's you can't not hunt everything you possibly see. Yeah. You just bought 286,000 bullets. What are you going to do with them if you don't start hunting all the buffalo?
Somebody was telling me the other day that they wanted them to update Oregon Trail for like the current systems out. And yeah. I was just thinking, like, how would that game, what would they do to improve? I mean, how would they bring that game into the...
Wouldn't play it.
Yeah, it would suck.
You just don't play that game because it's boring as shit.
Oh, that's a game?
Yeah.
Oh, you never played it back in school?
No, I don't play much games, man.
Well, you're a little older than
he was busy learning or something.
Yeah.
It goes back to the same thing. Is like, he has a legitimate reason to be upset about, like, specific reasons to be upset with the American government. Yeah. And, like, he can be so mad. You have, like, license to go into any post office and just start yelling at them for your mail being late or anything. Like, anything you want to be mad about, you can just start slamming your fist out on a counter and you can just show them... 8 years. I gave you 8 years in the goddamn Air Force. I've lived here my entire goddamn life. You start giving me some service. And like me, I'm just sitting here going, mail's late again. I'm so mad, but I don't really care because I'm not going to do anything about it. And I have it in the past and I'm not going to do anything about it now.
Yeah, yelling doesn't get anything across, man. Yelling doesn't. So hopefully letters to the congressman and senator.
Well, I'll write one, even though they're probably screening out my letters by now anyways because I'm asking them for some ridiculous things already. So I'm like, why can't I get the Discovery Channel on not cable because I don't want to pay for cable? And then why can't they unblock my neighbor's wireless connection for me? Things like that. I think that's all an American right.
Yeah,
exactly.
I deserve it.
Yeah. I thought it was really thoughtful that Obama sent you a general sympathy get well card from CVS in response to your predicament, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You
yeah.
signed it.
Like a thumbs up picture or something like that.
Yeah, everything's going to be A-okay.
Just like, a generic
it's okay,
headshot.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, but you
no,
can tell.
It says change is coming.
Yeah. He initially had like sent you the thumbs down. Like, we know that's a bad idea, but he was like, no, Obama, we want to make it sound good. So like they Photoshopped his hand and turned it around. So it's clearly a Photoshop thumbs up. He's got two right hands now.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, thanks, Obama. I really appreciate
two right
that.
Right thumbs up. Yeah.
Do you guys pay for your internet, by the way? Do you guys, you guys all pay for your internet?
Yeah. Well, so it's also just, it's sort of funny. What if Obama really responded to the letter and like put some law in action? He calls some press conference like, all right, immigration laws are all still the same, but now only Canadian mothers can still come back around. White Canadian mothers who are writers and are clearly not terrorists.
It's just like an ultra specific law written in.
I got a letter from Citizen Clinton James and it moved me.
Well, that's now, the funny thing is because one time in my life, I was imagining all the magical places that I could move to. And Toronto was one of the ones that I had looked up because Toronto, being, of course, the comedy capital of Canada, like, oh, you could go to Toronto where all the funny people come from.
It's a funny city,
and then
man.
Go try to work your way through. And you can actually live up there as an American citizen if you work in such industries. And such industries are like hundreds of industries. There's tons of things that you can do and work up in Canada as an American citizen. And just and become, I mean, maybe you have to work out a dual citizenship. I didn't look too far into it. But it's like, there's lots of things you can do up there in Canada as an American.
You can. I went up there and lived for a year. Whenever we actually just went up there specifically to have our daughter in Canada because of the health care.
Yeah.
So we had a free baby.
Makes perfect sense.
Wonderful. So we lived in Toronto, but that's the reason is because of the union there. ACTRA.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to work as a Canadian actor at the time.
Have you approved of the Canadian healthcare system then in this?
I thought it was great. I love it.
I mean, you have a baby still. It's 2 years old now and
it was
I mean,
great actually.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you guys conceive in Canada just to make sure?
No, we conceived in Vegas.
Oh, yes.
So what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas.
Yeah. Now that could be considered a lucky role or not.
Yeah.
Depending on
it's right after we were married by Elvis.
Yeah. So the first time you guys had sex is when I mean after you
was
were married.
Elvis watching?
No.
That would have been weird, you know?
He was an out-of-work actor from Los Angeles.
If you're just, like, hanging out and then trying to conceive a baby, and then all of a sudden from the depths of the closet, all you hear is, like, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh,
uh-huh. Well, it's just that kind of... Clint, that's, like, really, like, lifetime movie of the week luck for Clint, too, because he's a... was a 36-year-old virgin, and then he gets married. The first time he has sex, you know? Gets her pregnant.
Bang.
Yeah.
He hit the jackpot, Clark. Yeah. That's what it means. He hit the jackpot, all right?
You ever see, like, those Lifetime movies where you know, like, the, like the I saw one with Paul Dano, who's now, like, a pretty big actor, but he was in There Will Be Blood. He was, like, the preacher. You saw that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he used to be, like, you know, just a no-name actor. He was in Lifetime movies, and, you know, he was, like, 15, and his girlfriend was 15, and they fucked, and she got pregnant, and it was called Too Young to Be a Daddy. Oh, and they just sort of dealt with the struggles. Yeah. And I just wonder...
Sally Field is in a lot of those movies, right?
Yeah.
Like Lifetime movies and stuff. For some reason,
Melissa Gilbert's doing
that. Yeah. I think the pregnancies are so... They're so inevitably written into those movies because, you know, they can't... There's never a scene in a movie where somebody, like, pulls out or they talk about, like, the rhythm method.
Well, because they're making love.
There's not
Clark.
A condom scene.
They're making love, Clark. They're not trying to...
It's Lifetime, man. Yeah, they're not going to get
into
that.
They know
not,
what they're doing, yeah. Okay?
You can't say pull out on Lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit, bitch. Let me get this shit on your stomach. Let me shake up this Sprite and jam it up. Then we're not gonna go through all this stuff.
Not on Lifetime.
Yeah, this is Lifetime here, right? Yeah.
Ah, shit, bitch! I'm gonna pop this on your stomach. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you can't say things like "I'm about to pop." you just have sex fully clothed for only a minute, right. And then it's over.
You don't?
Oh,
I mean, that's,
no, I get crazy.
No.
I get
terrible. Yeah, it gets crazy. Yeah.
No, I go. I don't even unlace my shoes. I just keep the whole thing. I put on a jacket, just, you know, not a dinner
clothes.
Jacket, just, like, you know, a regular jacket.
Yeah,
you know, nothing like, fancy. Just
like a winter, like a winter jacket.
Yeah, if the season is appropriate, you know, it's like right now I would put on a little bit of a flannel maybe, and then.
I like your beard, man. Your beard, you grow that really well.
It's been a couple months coming now, and it's funny because we just moved into a newer corporate office. And the company I work for got bought by another company, and then now we're merging. And we just moved into this big corporate office, and we were all really scared. And the number one thing people ask about, because they're in a corporate environment, we came from, like, small 17-person company to, like, a 2,000-person company. And everyone's like, why do you grow that beard? It's like, well, I didn't try to, but, like, that's the only thing they can always fixate. Like, what? Why did you grow that beard? I don't know why. I obviously understand that it's interesting because it's giant. I look extremely homeless. I mean, I look like a vagrant. I should be picking. I'm actually, like, hoarding these cans under the table so I can go recycle them later. And, like, that's my job now. So
your beard shocks the workaday world.
It does. It really throws.
Would you mind
people
passing me a Shasta?
There.
Yeah, no problem, buddy.
Yeah, it throws people off. They like to talk about the beard. They like to they never. Here's one thing about beards is that's different than, like, a interesting head of hair. And, like, I don't have an interesting head of hair. I never have. But I know some people, especially, like, white dudes with afros. People always want to touch it, you know? Like, I'm sure, Clint, you probably get people like, can I, like, touch your hair, maybe? I mean, you've got, like, longer
hair.
Every
once in a while.
Maybe. I mean, you've got pretty normal long hair, but it's like, white dudes with afros, people always want
to
touch
I would love to be able
their,
to have an afro.
Of course, everyone always would, No one ever wants
like
to touch
that.
Your giant beard. That's never.
Sometimes they can get gnarly, though, man. I mean, I saw a guy on Hollywood Boulevard, and he reminded me of a flea. Like a real dirty flea. You know?
Wait, like he had fleas, or he was like the
well,
bass player?
I'm sure he did. But it's just like everybody has their own life, and this guy was just having his lunch in a garbage can.
Right.
And
can't blame him.
Well, you know, it's okay to each his own. I don't know. Maybe he had it. Maybe he was an actor at one time. Maybe he had a bad year at auditions. You know.
You're so open-minded. You're, you know.
maybe he just likes eating out of dumpsters, really. I mean,
well, I know.
Let's not put any limitations on this. Yeah. Maybe he just really enjoys the food from
a
dumpster.
But he had a beard. Yeah, that was it was gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah, shaving is one thing that homeless people don't do a lot of.
But now beards are chic. So homeless people are just got a little cooler.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, good for them.
Can fit right back in.
Yeah. Before I was saying, I was kind of like, I'm reacting to this whole, this is not going to get heavy. It's going to sound heavy at first.
Sure.
I was reacting to this whole, like, everything's going ape shit in Egypt thing. Whoa. Beer all over a computer and all
that's
over
Shasta.
Microphone.
That is Shasta.
Oh, yeah. Things are going crazy. Oh, my God. Beer everywhere. Oh, my God. There's a meltdown in the
oh,
studio.
No.
Oh, my God.
I just knocked my mic over and it hit my beer and then it got on Ben's computer.
It's Shasta.
And then Ben knocked over the Shasta on the floor.
And then I knocked over Shasta everywhere and then everything's going crazy. This is a meltdown here.
I think the
we
studio.
Start talking about Egypt going crazy. This is exactly what it's like.
I don't know,
see?
But your cat keeps on eyeballing me over
man.
There.
Oh man, how are we ever supposed to get anything done in here?
All right, we're gonna take a break.
Yeah, you're
right
coming
back.
Down, man. It's the shaft is flowing on the floor here.
All right,
well, the floor is okay.
We'll be back. We gotta clean this shit up.
That's a direct order. Do it now.
Okay, crisis.
Jesus
averted.
Christ.
Man.
That was crazy.
Wow. I can't believe something like that could happen on show number two. And here we are, still alive. We made it. We made it, fellas.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Oh, there's another one. Oh, gosh.
Bless you. Wow.
I'm jocking the levels over here.
I'm
look at me.
I'm about being the first guest.
Hey, man. I'm glad you came on. You actually turned out to be not a deadbeat like Clark was on the last time I had a show.
Yeah.
I had Clark on as a guest, and all he did was bitch and moan. He's like, oh man, I'm so sick all the time.
Just whining.
He's like, I'm so sick. All I want to talk about is being sick and blind waiters and everything like that. And it's like, no, you are boring, man. Get off my show. So
well, I've never been a first guest.
Here you are, man.
Yeah, that's
you were when, and then I'm gonna snap some pictures of you and Flat Stanley. We're gonna have content for the website and everything.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
exciting.
Like,
me and Flat.
Yeah. So you know, if you're not listening to this on downinthewell.com, then you can. Gladly find it on downinthewell.com, which is where we're going to host it. We're going to link it around, and we're going to find it. Pictures are going to be everywhere. Flat Stanley's going around the world.
Oh, that's exciting. That's going to be really exciting for Cal.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Tell her not to listen to the radio show because it may not be necessarily appropriate.
We'll have her mother
Censor it out. We'll email the pictures and be like, we'll have you sit somewhere where it makes it look like you're not in a dumpy living room in Koreatown, Los Angeles, but, you know, I probably could have...
I like your robot TV, man. I love the robot TV.
I got a lot of time on my hands. That's
interesting.
That's what,
Ben has a TV inside of a cardboard robot, and the TV sort of looks like the first computer monitor ever made.
Yeah.
It's like sort of
it is one of the worst TVs ever, and I've had it since, like... I borrowed it. It's a... no. Probably not, but I have no idea what it is. I borrowed it from a friend in college, never gave it back.
The smile on your robot kind of looks like Flats.
Oh, see, they should take pictures together. See, they should they really do resemble each other, the human and the robot form. It was actually, I have like this weird thing with puppets. Yeah, and it's actually like, it was originally I built this robot TV for, instead of a robot TV, it was actually a robot puppet costume for Halloween, and I like... constructed it all, and then I ended up not even using it because the time I went out during Halloween weekend, nobody told me it was a Halloween party, and they actually told me not to wear a costume. I was like, oh, it's Friday night, we should wear, it's a costume party, right? No, they didn't say anything about costume party. It's Halloween weekend. For weeks, people are wearing costumes at parties regardless. And they're like, no, it's not.
You
okay.
Showed up looking like a robot?
Well, then, no, I showed up looking like me. And then we had to make excuses for why I'm looking like me. Because I'm like, I feel like a jackass now. All these chicks are wearing, like, French maid outfits. Everyone's dressed up in gore makeup. And I'm wearing my clothes. And so...
Well, why did they fuck with you like that?
They didn't. They're just idiots.
Oh.
They're just... My friends are all dumb. So I have nothing but dumb friends. And they just don't think with their brains. And... The brains are just there to keep their skulls from imploding in on
Clark's
themselves.
Dumb.
Clark's not my friend. Clark's a co-host. All right.
That's the worst when you show up to a costume party and you're not doing the theme.
Yeah, and I wanted to. I was totally game for wearing a costume because it's Halloween and like what you're supposed to, right? Everyone's wearing a costume. No one has to feel dumb for wearing a costume. It's okay. Now it's one of these things where one time I got invited to. Here's an interesting costume party that I never have heard of before. It's called a what's it called? I don't know, underwear party or something like that. It was something like that, where it's like bedtime party or something like that, where you're supposed to come wearing like underwear or sleeping time clothes. And I'm like, well, what is everyone going to wear? They're like, oh, we're probably just going to show up in like bras and underwears and stuff like that. So, okay, I guess if you're going to do that. And so I was trying to get my friends to come with me because I'm like, listen, all these girls from the restaurant that I work at inviting me to this bra and underwear party, pajama party, whatever it is, you guys got to come with. There's going to be chicks wearing just bras and underwears and stuff like that. I'm going to show up in just like shorts and a blanket or something like that. So it'll be fine. No, we're not going to go. All right, whatever. So now I have to go alone. Now I'm thinking these people are fucking with me because no one's having a party where you show up in just underwear, right? Okay, so I'm wearing boxer shorts and like black socks, Chuck Taylors, and then a blanket. I've got a sleeping bag wrapped around my shoulders, and I'm like hesitant to go knock on the door. But I knock on the door and I open it up. It's steamy hot inside. Electronic music's going off with like a disco ball, and there is chicks just wearing underwear and bras.
Did you have any underwear on?
I was wearing my boxers, yeah.
Oh.
And I went in and had an awesome time. I was like, I took so many pictures of chicks in their underwears, and I was like, this is a good idea for a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it ended up not being terribly embarrassing, but you know what the sleeping bag was for.
Did it make it easier or harder to talk to the chicks?
It depends on what stage of arousal I was in at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as you can imagine,
you went through
a guy
varying
like me,
states, though.
Of course. That's why I brought the sleeping bag.
Part
yeah,
of the story,
you
yeah.
got it. Because the immediate shock, the immediate shock is just like, oh my God, this is awesome. All right, I'm not even thinking about being horny in this situation. And then you start to settle in. You're like, yeah, all right, these chicks are all dancing at each other, wearing just underwear. All right, I've paid for videos on the internet.
Yeah,
nah, I'm not. Come on, that's a joke. And you know, we don't pay for that kind of stuff.
No, never.
But no, it was a very interesting time when everyone gets really drunk and lots of pictures were taken.
I actually have to look at porn for my job, and I never get tired of it.
It's a tough job,
know?
Yeah. It really is a tough job. But you work on the internet, right?
Yeah.
As do I, and we all have. And I brought up the fact that Clint, you pay for your internet, right? Because you're a man.
I'm probably one of the few.
Yeah, you're a man, and of course that's something you should do. Clark, you live in like sort of a community living situation where your rent probably covers any sort of wireless that you
have.
No,
we have internet, but it's overpriced, and I don't know. Like in LA, like you can't get good internet unless you're hardwired into the thing. Everyone's internet always sucks.
So do you just opt out? You just don't use it?
No, I use it, but it's just shit. Like,
okay, but I mean, you have it, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay. I don't pay for it. I have multiple lists of wireless, open wireless connections that I have, and then the ones that aren't open, my sister's boyfriend is extremely tech handy, and he came over and hacked them all for me. So now like I steal everybody. So I'm getting whichever one I can use, and in every room of my house, it's a different one that is strongest, so I have to like re-log on to the internet every time I get on. So I'm like a serious thief of the internet around here. But I need it. I need it, and I just don't want to pay for it because I live alone.
Do you ever just go to him and say, hey, I appreciate it? Thanks for being there for me.
I say thank you all the time to them, and I'm wondering if they ever know. But I don't, like, the thing is, if my neighbors were friendlier, I would propose to them that I just chip in a few bucks and I actually just use it. Like, I would rather just be honest with them and then use it, but then I also would rather just steal it because I can't use this neighbor's next to me in the bathroom where I need it.
That's a lot of Christmas cards that you have to send.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I'd pay more in Christmas cards than I would in the internet, so it's really just not worth it. But I was thinking, like, going back to the Egypt thing before the entire chaos had happened, which, by the way, was just like mic stands falling down, beers falling over, beer spilling on the floor, table, computers, everything was just, everything's all mopped up now. Everything's cool. By the way, we didn't like give a specific status update. But
take that,
all,
Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, we're all cool. We mopped everything up. How come you guys can't do the same thing?
Yeah.
People are going crazy over there, like really apeshit crazy. And of course, because they want things to change, right?
Right.
I often wonder, and now, when I was back home for the holidays here on Christmas, I'm from Northern Illinois, and I was sitting there talking with my dad and my sister, and he was basically telling us how he was having an argument with my sister about how people actually gave a shit back in the day, you know, where they would like go out and protest things that they cared about and stuff like that, and how people nowadays, the youth of America, are severely complacent because they have Xbox and TV and cable and internet and everything like that, and they really don't have much to actually hit the streets and give a shit. I mean, Clint, your wife is now banished to Canada with your child because of what? No real reason. I mean, they have laws about why, but they don't really make sense to us. So I mean, like, why not? So what would it take for people in America to actually like have to go hit the streets and like be real fucking pissed about, like, what do they have to take away from you in order to be so upset that just people would storm out of their houses with bricks and helmets and fire and just start smashing down people's doors? And I'm not talking about like Harry Potter openings. I'm saying like real shit. What's it gonna take?
For Clint, it would take them taking away like day old like 7-Eleven food.
Like sandwiches. I was gonna say, like,
the good stuff, right?
At 7-Eleven, yeah. Or the simpler times from Trader Joe's for $3.99 like, for a six
yeah,
pack.
$3
quality brew.
Yeah, see, if they start
for a six pack,
that's what it is. If they start really inconveniencing me, it's really gonna be a problem. And I was thinking about that. It would be the internet.
I would probably start that one too.
If they took the internet away from me, and this is what they did in Egypt, they shut down the internet. Now no one can use the internet. That would be it. If they told me that I couldn't use the, not like I get logged off of my neighbor's network, they can't let me use the internet at all. Fuck that. I don't have cable. I can't watch anything. I can't download TV shows illegally. I can't listen to free music. I can't do that stuff. I am going to get pissed off. Like,
well,
that's
who,
it.
Who would be more upset, though? Would it be the people that actually pay for it or steal it?
Good question. Right. Good question. I don't know, because I would be mad because then I have, because I'm already stealing this commodity that I'm going to get so upset over losing. Damn. But I'm only going to get upset if they take it away from me for free, I'll still find ways to get it. Because I used to go down to the library and I'll go to coffee shops and things like that. Because I work on the internet, so I have it 8 hours a day.
But you couldn't do that in Egypt.
But I couldn't do that in Egypt. So that's when I'm going to start throwing bricks. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Those, and they're paying for it. They're going to be so mad they're paying for it.
What if they gave you something back in return, though? They took away the internet, but they gave you
they gave me
all the
Clint's
free
family? No, yeah. Not acceptable. Sorry, Clint, I like you, but I have to trade your family for the internet.
The internet's very important.
He wouldn't, but
I would.
But it's
I
not
yeah. personally. I would give
not,
up everything.
It's not mine.
You have to start talking to people again, you know, getting to know people.
Unacceptable.
And, yeah.
LOL.
Yeah.
Smiley face. Semicolon P.
Well, someone I know just got Kinect for the Xbox, so I think the first thing you would do is just start playing with your second place toys to the internet.
But even those are like, you have to, most of those games you have to be online in order to enjoy now anyway.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Isn't it funny where they're like, hey, you want to play, hey Clint, you want to go play video games? Yeah, dude, totally. Okay, go to your house, turn on your Xbox, log into Xbox Live, and then find me on chat, and then we'll play video games together. Yeah. You at your house and me at mine.
Right.
Well, online dating would be history. That would be a hard thing that...
God. What would you do without online dating?
I would have to actually learn how to meet girls in real life, and that's not something I can take on at this point in my life. I mean...
Is that something... Is meeting people traditionally the way of the dodo? Has that just gone?
No, it doesn't.
I mean,
anymore.
I prefer to meet my people in real life, and in fact... My Facebook friends are not my real friends. Like, everyone, I like keep real friends, and I have Facebook friends, and the Facebook friends is
I am not under the delusion that these people are my real friends.
People on your Facebook that you don't,
really I know them, but they're just like it should be acquaintance book for me because it's just people who, and they generally add me, and I know that like when someone adds me with 596 friends, they can't possibly have that many friends. I maybe they do, but they don't. They're just adding me to see what my pictures look like and what I where I went to school and when I'm born.
They should add that then. They should have acquaintance friends.
Yeah.
And real friends.
Because there's lots of like, you know, and not to badmouth Facebook, because I mean I've found out through about events because of Facebook. You know, you find out about things that you don't ever know about, but that you'll eventually hide from your status feed because you don't give a shit about, and then you're just collecting people that you have met once.
Then all your acquaintance friends though would get mad because they're acquaintance friends to you, and they want to be your real friends. Bricks. Yeah. That's how their roles would start. Oh, that
see,
way too.
Yeah, there. That's their Brit quotient is when you start deleting your acquaintance friends from like if you follow Jimmy Kimmel's lead and you start deleting your friends from Facebook, they're gonna start getting very upset, storm out into the streets, and demand you re-add them to Facebook.
There's a thing on Facebook too you can get that tells you if somebody's deleted you, and so the people that
are those real.
Well, no, you're
like, are those things that you can see who's been looking at your Facebook page and like all that stuff? Are those real?
I think it's a hack thing. Right?
I think
I don't think that one is real, but the one where I think the one.
And like, do you want to know? I don't care.
No, I mean, you always do kind of want to know, but you don't. You know, that's my take on it.
I can tell when I like go like when I think about that person once months down the road, and I go, oh yeah, wait a minute, I can't access their profile information. Yeah. I thought we were friends. Now I feel snubbed by people who I don't know that. I mean, I used to know them or something.
There's some of mine because my wife and I, we share one. So it's Clinton Kim James. So
yeah.
We share one.
But she's just darling. It's really cute.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, so, you guys all sign your posts. Yeah. Yeah.
And she doesn't, you know, so we have to, she does KJ for Kim and then I do CJ if I'm going to post something. But I don't know a lot of her, like her friends and stuff like that, but I don't really care. You know, I'm sure they're really wonderful people. But it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm just doing it to kill time, anyways. I mean, I'm really just hoping my girlfriend from ex girlfriend from high school adds me one time so I can see all her pictures that are private. That's really all I hope.
See how fat she's gotten.
Yeah, real fat. I know it. I can see it because she's got one of those profile pictures that's just like her cheeks up. So it's like you know that she's got like she like probably fell down on a fireplace or something. Like she's got no teeth left and like her chin got about 15 times larger and all this stuff.
Her chin's just slathered with deep dish pizza. Chicago.
Just like green bean casserole just dripping down her face. I know this is
she
happening.
She has a big chin.
She's probably got one now.
How does your chin just grow?
Eating a lot of lard, sticks of butter.
Oh, you mean the fat?
Yeah, just big fat. Oh, yeah. Like she's been getting punched in the chin a whole lot, like and building up that strong chin. Oh yeah, I also failed to mention she's a welterweight boxer, so she's just been working up that sturdy chin.
That sturdy chin.
So, Clint, one of the things that you need to report back is I heard in Canada they're limiting the internet now. They like you know we've all been told that Obama's going to get this internet kill switch where they're going to turn off the internet sometimes if they feel like there's some sort of attack going to happen. Google's going to go down, the banks and everything like that. So they're going to have an internet kill switch, which is pissing everybody off because no one wants to turn off the internet. And in Canada, they're limiting your bandwidth to like 20 gigabytes a month. So that means you can't stream a bunch of shit online and download a bunch of free music and all this stuff like that.
I didn't know anything about this.
They may or may not be overturning it before it even happens. So
well,
I may
explain because now you know I have to Skype with my wife and
oh
yeah.
Oh, see, that's going to affect you directly.
So it actually kept on cutting off.
You're gonna, you know what?
Makes sense.
You're huh? You're now going to have to write the Canadian congressman or whatever the equal is to that. What prime minister?
Yeah. I don't see why I'm the guy that's getting screwed.
Yeah, you're getting double back. And I had that Canada thing written down before I knew you were even coming
in
here. So
you know they got rid of the penny.
So no more 1 cent piece. It goes straight to five.
No more pennies. I think they round up now.
That's a good idea though.
Yeah.
I mean, because when are you ever going to need? If it's 99 cents, it's a dollar. So you don't need to bring a penny.
I never understood
into it.
That either.
I mean, come on.
It's $1.07 now or something like that, right? Right. So it doesn't really matter.
How long do your Skype conversations last with people?
Well, depending, because, well, usually it's my daughter. She's she can last a little bit on there.
Yeah.
And she, you know, and it's fun and all that stuff. So maybe about 10 minutes and
Oh, well, she's like, my daughter can last a long time on that, 10 minutes. It's 10 like, minutes. Oh, Jesus Christ, I wish I could have a 10-minute conversation with anybody.
I feel a lot
nowadays.
Of pressure with Skype conversations, even more than phone conversations, because you...
I think it depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Why do you feel pressure?
I don't know, because you're just sitting there, like, you can see that what the person's doing, like, and if you're on the just on the phone and you get bored and you don't know what to say, like, it's not as awkward as if you're on Skype and you're staring at the webcam and... just totally lose focus. And
well, I know, like, whenever I was on with my wife and daughter this morning, I had to go use the bathroom, so they were still on, and so I was, you know, doing my...
Do you have a webcam in the bathroom, too, so you can continue?
Oh, yeah, you should wire up your whole house, so then, like, they have they can switch camera 14, and be like, oh, here's Daddy in the bathroom! Yeah, let's just start a reality show, so then your family knows exactly what's going on.
What's going on?
Here's Daddy in the bathroom taking yet another Takati and Cocoa Puff shit. waiting for his estranged.
Yeah, you might want to schedule that call for tomorrow a little bit later than you've had in the past.
A lot of times it's right before my daughter Jessie.
Well, that's what's ironic too, Quinn. About
she goes to bed, so she gets a little wiry. You know, she's 2.5, so
it's really ironic that you know you're all like the people that Skype their conversations are truly the people that least need to really broadcast their lives, because right now your life is just a never-ending cesspool of breakfast cereals, beer. Regrets, paperwork, rejections from immigration.
Yeah, a lot of that. Rejections from all the auditions and
reality show watching.
Reality show watching. I watched Top Shot on the History Channel today on my new sofa. We got our new sofa in today.
Oh, great. No.
It feels like a cat.
I was watching some reality shows over there at his place the other night. Like, it's just hilarious how they're all the same show. You just substitute in a profession.
Right, something that someone does well, and then get some other people in there who don't do it as well.
Like if it's an antique show, like, you know, somebody has to, if it's like an antiques warehouse and they're trying to acquire antiques to sell, one of the employees at some point during the episode has to like break the machine on accident, or like they don't know how much it's going to cost, they have to look it up. And if it's a show about people and human resources, at some point for dramatic effect, somebody in the episode has to, you know, spell somebody's name wrong or something, and
yeah.
If it all went right, man, you wouldn't watch it.
Yeah. Let's start like internet radio, the reality show.
Yeah.
And then what we'll do is fuck it up all the time.
Yeah.
And then we'll be famous.
That beer spilling incident. Yeah. Right now, oh,
God damn it! All right, we'll all have to reset. I'll set up the camera, and then we'll just play it all out like it happened.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, shit! Beer everywhere! Oh, my God! And then we'll just scream, we'll yell, we'll run around, things will get knocked over, and then
right.
Famous internet money. Because the internet is the only way to make money nowadays.
There you go.
Not in Egypt.
Sorry, Egypt. You're not going to be able to listen to this.
One thing that... but, you know, what I think what helps you coast along living out here, though, no matter how bad most of your life might be going, is... They have such crazy, like, laid-back jobs out here. Like, Clint does is drive people from the hotel to, like, within 5 miles, right, of the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
That's different than a valet service,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's different than a
service.
Taxi.
Yeah. So
to where.
Basically, yeah, at the everybody, I mean, you got to have income coming.
The is like a high class. A higher class. I've heard about this in rap songs. That's
it's celebrity based. Right.
Yeah. Because I got a room in the W, but you can't meet me in the lobby. It's like one of those things where you so ghetto, you can't meet me in the lobby, but I'll sneak you in the back door to right. come check out my pimp ass suite. Right.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah.
That's a song. I don't know who sings it.
And so and everybody's there in the business. So so everybody is, you know, and you can click with them. You know. You understand them.
Yeah.
You gotta click with them.
Do you ever solicit jobs? No, by the way. I mean, I feel bad ever trying to solicit jobs from people, especially strangers. But if I know that they have the power, someone's got to have the power to give you a job, right? Like a cool job. Does anyone ever solicit jobs from people? Like, hey, by the way, I mean, everybody's an actor, right? I'll act. I'll act if you want to give me money and the opportunity to do it. I'll do it. I'm not an actor, but I'll do it. give me money. Now, that cheapens the acting profession, of course, because there's some actors out there that are good, but and I'm not. I'm not going to claim to be, but I'll do it. Give me money, and I'll do it. And,
exactly.
And you know what? Sometimes, don't even give me money. Just make. Well, I'll just do it. Put me in movies.
I mean, it's just proof there's so many passionless industries, you know? I mean, just to think, just to dream that there might be Subway sandwich employees out there that are just making sandwiches because people are giving them money. They're actually passionate about it.
That's unfortunate, though, because they're artists. You can't. Don't discriminate.
Mike Tyson's working at Subway in Vegas.
Well,
seriously?
He's an artist.
Yeah, I read something on the internet that some kid said, yeah, I saw Mike Tyson working at Subway. Working at Subway in Vegas.
Well, he's paying off bookies. I mean, he's still got a long way to go.
That's a low point.
Imagine that, you know, getting a sandwich from Iron Mike.
I'd pay him $6 for that foot long.
It's got to, yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
It's got to be tempting for him to just go. He gets offered those like those Vegas prize fights that he could just do every once in a while.
I'm sure it's not true though. It's somebody's put something on there. So.
You guys seen that show? It was a couple years ago. It was like, it was celebrity boxing where I saw Manute Bol fight William the Refrigerator Perry.
Wow, right? That would be one to see.
He boxed him, and like Horseshack boxed Screech from Saved by the Bell. Well, what if? Yeah. What if that was how it turned into where Mike Tyson now had to start fighting people, just like random other celebrities?
Yeah, I think he'd beat the shit out
of him. Would Mike Tyson be able to beat Butterbean?
I don't know that dude.
Because Mike Tyson is, I mean, he's old, but he's gotten old. You know, for a boxer, Butterbean's always been old, and he's always been fat, and he's always just been like a. He's just a glorified plumber who just swings his arms around like crazy. But that's been his niche. That's been what he does. Mike Tyson was a boxer, now who's not a boxer anymore. And he's just...
making sandwiches.
Yeah, he's making sandwiches in Vegas. So, like, now I want to see that fight. Let's set it up. Butterbean versus Mike Tyson, who wears the American flag shorts.
Well, didn't they do something like that with Johnny Knoxville fighting Butterbean?
Yeah, in like a clothing store or something.
That's right.
Johnny Knoxville got beat up.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, and for some reason, there's no bigger fall from grace than if you're doing something creative and then you have to make sandwiches. Like, if you're just like pushing papers in some office and shit starts to go wrong with you, and then you get a job waiting at Chili's or whatever. People will probably make fun of you, but it's not going to be a big story, or, you know, you're not going to suffer as much repercussion as if you used to guest on some TV show and now you're working at fucking TGI Fridays or whatever.
Well, if anyone wants to put me to work waiting tables at TGI Fridays, I'll honor those requests, or I'll also fight Mike Tyson.
Where's the TGI Fridays out here? I haven't seen one.
I think there's one... Yeah, I don't know.
There's one at Puente Hills Mall, which is also the mall that was used as the Twin Pines Mall in Back to the Future. That's the only one I know of because that's the only one I've been to.
Those restaurants have got to be tempting to take your daughter to because they're the ones that have kids eat for free under a certain age, right?
And on their birthdays.
I didn't know they do that.
Yeah, all those restaurants. Yeah. IHOP does it.
This whole time I've been paying for her to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you have
to. Dude, you don't have to go to Canada for free shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right here in America. Yeah. Make it work for you. That's what I'm talking about.
That's it.
You got anything else, Clark? You got anything important and groundbreaking?
No, I think I think we just about covered it for this episode. I think we went about an hour or so. We spilled beer all over our equipment, but
I mean, we did some epic things. It was all behind the scenes.
Yeah.
We got two guests, Flat Stanley.
Yeah, and Clint.
And Clint.
Look for Flat Stanley on the internet with Clint. And he's going to go around L.A.
I mean, now, here's just a suggestion. I know you're probably supposed to return that Flat Stanley, but I'd say maybe just send it to someone else. Isn't that the idea? You just send it to someone else?
No, you have to send it back because the letter in here is a little... Callie is waiting for Flat to come back.
Oh, she's got to have it. Oh, right. So she sent it to you specifically. She doesn't want it to go crazy all around the world.
She just wants Flat to see a little bit of Hollywood.
Yeah, Flat doesn't want to come back with VD.
And then I got to send Flat back to Missouri.
All right. Well,
Flat's going to have VD. Flat's going to have a picture where he just did a rail of coke.
Flat's going to go to West Hollywood. And
Flat should
be wearing...
go to Jumbo's Clown Room. That's all I'm saying. Flat should just get up in there and then have a great
actually,
time.
Yeah, actually, Kim and I used to live down the street from Jumbo's in Hollywood.
This guy.
In 2007.
Yeah. Well, it'll work because Flat seems to have this look of just permanent horror onto his face.
It looks pretty.
This guy's teeth all chomped.
We should make
like
our own Flat Stanley and then like have, and then we'll just bring him around and, and all the skeeziest places we can possibly find and then, you know, post
like
him up.
Check marks on his feet. I'm not sure. Is that a.
It's like because they had to make feet, knees, and anatomically correct. So they had to check. You got 2 feet? You got it.
Check.
Yeah, you got it. You got a number on them? 22. You got it.
22.
Because that's what kids wear. That's numbers on their thing. Well, thanks a lot, Clint, for coming in. I don't have anything else.
Thanks, Clint.
First guest, episode number 2. I think we're going to smooth it on. Yeah. You'll hear from him again.
Right.
We have a saga going on, but I don't want to keep segueing into my own more talking, but we have a saga going on because we're going to have to check back with Clint. Like,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah,
how's the wife and kid?
Shitty auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. We'll come back and we'll have Clint talking about shitty auditions. What you need to do is go audition for some shit that you are totally not right for, and then you know have them turn you out.
That's up to the management though. That's up to your manager and agent. They're not going to send you out for something you're not totally not right for.
I'll send you out.
I like that.
I'll find something, and maybe what we'll find is they'll be surprised that you are right for the spot.
You're like, I didn't think.
See what we're doing?
That.
Well, and then if nothing else, you can start adding this to your resume of credits that you were on our podcast. And I mean, just notice how quickly you're going to go to the front of the line at auditions and shit like that.
Clark's mom will put you at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I like that.
Of
man.
Things that she would like to see.
Pretty soon, hopefully, we're going to. I think the most easily accessible celebrities we could probably get on this is like porn stars.
Right.
There's so many in LA, so
yeah, all we gotta do is buy them booze.
Yeah, let's just start waiting for that.
Yeah,
that's all he did for me.
Right? Yeah,
that's all Charlie Sheen does for any of them. He just buys them like coke and stuff.
And those shots that you get in the ass. When you want to get rid of the gonorrhea.
So stay tuned for that.
So
thank you for tuning in.
This is episode number 2. We'll be back for
episode number 2. Ben and
next
Clark
time,
cast down in the well.com. Keep coming by the site to see. When our next episode is coming. Thank you so much for listening. And that's it for us.
Yeah. Spill shit on other shit.
Yeah.
In the meantime.
Fuck up. Fuck it up.